Let's pray. Father, we love you. And Lord, we just thank you for the cross. Lord, we thank you for this time of Advent, Lord, that we're reminded that you are our hope, that you are our peace. And so, Lord, I pray tonight that the words you've given us through the songs, the words that will be preached, Father, there'll be words that will serve each of us. So we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You ever have one of those moments where something happens that you always kind of dreamed about? Anybody? Anyone else? Okay, good, good. A lot of you. Well, here's what happened to me. I was at the hospital, and I get in the elevator, and a ton of people get in there. There was like 10 or 11 people crammed in this elevator. And this is no lie. I was a head taller than every person in the elevator. I never wanted to play basketball so bad in all my life. I said, we ought to play some basketball. And I was like, yeah, that's right. You're looking up. I was like, seriously, bring your walker. Come on. let's just do this, you know? And, cause I'd always, you know, as a kid, just always wanted to be like one of the tall people, you know? And so that moment in the elevator, I was just thinking, this is what I've always wanted. Just to be taller than everyone. What very low expectations I had. But anyhow, we have just such a moment like that in Scripture. I want to read this to you. Guys in the back, this isn't my main text, so don't worry if you don't have it. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Is that not weird? Y'all don't think it's weird. I just thought that was weird.' Jesus said, 'Now when you go, somebody's going to ask you, why are you untying it?' And there they are. And somebody says, 'Hey, why are you untying that?'" just me. Okay, never mind. "And they replied, 'The Lord needs it.'" Now it's just hard not to come on Wednesday night and just be in some spiritual mindset. Like, what a wonderful story. I mean, if I sent you out tonight, all right? If I just sent you out, said, "I want you to go to Walmart, there's going to be a BMW. It's going to be unlocked. Get in and just bring it here. And if somebody asks you, 'What are you doing in my Beamer?' just tell them Jamie needs it." Yeah, now you all are like, "Oh, that's crazy." Well, this was crazy. This was crazy. Jesus said, "I want you to go. I mean, first of all, I want you to go get a colt," and he tells them where to go, and they go, and guess what? It's there. Because I'm going as the skeptical disciple. Okay, yeah, sure. Yeah, we'll just go, and it'll be there, and we'll just take it, and they'll be cool with it. Yeah, hey, alrighty. My dad used to do that kind of stuff to me all the time. "I want you to go down there, and I want you to get that left-handed screwdriver and bring it up here." And I'd be in the garage for hours saying, "I don't know." And they go and they do it. It's there. They untie it. And you know, they got to be untying it. And there's like, you know, in modern times, there'd been a camera somewhere. And we have footage of the two people. They're right there. You can see them clearly untying the colt. I mean, you know, and they're untying it. And somebody says, "Hey, what are you doing?" They're like, "Oh my gosh. Wait, he said this would happen. The Lord needs it." Here we go. You know? I mean, wouldn't you be like that, honestly? I mean, y'all have heard this story before. I've read it 1,000 times. But put yourself in their shoes. Again, I'm the skeptical disciple. "What are you doing with my horse?" "My colt." "The Lord needs it." "Oh, okay." "What?" And they take it. Listen what happens. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. And when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. And they said this, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And they're giving him praise and adoration and worship. And the Bible tells us this. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." They didn't like this man getting this kind of admiration, this kind of worship that they would have believed would to be reserved for God himself. And he said, "Tell your disciples to shut up." I mean, what are they thinking? And Jesus says this, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Now think, I love that. I mean, that is so powerful. I mean, that's like a movie you go see, and when you leave, that's the line that you remember. Oh, whoa, whoa. And then he said this. This is awesome. "I tell you, if they don't praise me, the rocks will cry out. The rocks will praise me." For those who were in attendance, this was a Jewish culture. Those who were in attendance, they had heard the Old Testament. They had heard from the prophets. I mean, they knew the stories. And it would take them back to something that they had heard before. Something that was familiar to them. It would take them back. Maybe sitting that their grandmother told them the story that her grandmother told her, that her grandmother had told her, a story that had been around that they were familiar with. Except now they're not hearing the story. They're seeing it. And in Zechariah, has anybody ever heard of Zechariah? Raise your hand. All right, I hadn't until today. It's all right. What's wrong? Y'all got to lighten up a little bit. That was a joke, and it was funny at that. Wasn't it, Jeff? I need the Ed McMahon laugh over there. Thank you. There we go. Just have the... So in Zechariah, the prophet, is where we first get a glimpse of the story that we just heard. It's one of the first places. Zechariah the prophet. You know what Zechariah means? Anybody know? Zechariah means Yahweh has remembered. Isn't that awesome? I thought that was really awesome. I thought there'd be just exuberance, and now you're mocking me. All right. Zechariah. I mean, whose very name means Yahweh has remembered. You know what's cool about a name like that? I need to hear that, because I'm thinking a lot of times that Yahweh has forgot. I mean, there's been promises that have been made, and especially think about the context in which this is written. Think about what the author is really trying to convey, a message of hope and a message of peace. And Zechariah comes, Yahweh has remembered. He says this, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and..." That's good, thank you. "Gentle and riding on a donkey." They had heard about this. Now, they didn't understand all the prophetic implications that were being said here. They didn't understand everything and what it meant. And for a lot of the folks in this time, they were waiting for this king to come. And so this is a little bit odd. They'll take it. Have you ever been in a time of total discouragement and you'll take whatever's there? Like when I've been working out and eating the best I can, you know, for weeks and weeks. And I asked my wife how I look. She goes, "I think you've lost at least a half a pound." I'll take it. Thank you. You know, it's one of these kind of moments. They are a discouraged people. I mean, there has been captivity. They have been in bondage. And the prophet comes, whose name tells us what? Yahweh has remembered all these promises that were made. Yahweh has not forgotten those promises. And those promises are going to be fulfilled in His time. That's always my issue with God. It's not what He does, it's just when He does it. Right? But he always does it in his time. So the people hear this. And he's telling them to rejoice. He's telling them, hey, listen, be encouraged. He's telling them to be hopeful. Let me tell you what's happened here. First of all, the celebration that's being described here is the Festival of Booths. And one major thing here, one major theme in the Festival of Booths, and it's this: God's rule over all the earth. That's the main thing that's being celebrated in the Feast of Booths. God's rule over all the earth. How many of you believe that God rules over all the earth? That's good. That's how many of you doubt that sometimes? You're liars. I doubt that. Sometimes I'm wondering, God, hello, have you watched CNN today? God, have you seen what's happening to the Dow? God, are you watching this? God, are you? I mean, sometimes there's a question. These are the questions that they have. And look, can I just tell you something? I don't want us to all act like we're so holy. I have those questions and those doubts sometimes. That's why God gives us these words to encourage us. So don't come tonight and act like you never have those doubts and you never have those questions. We have them. That is part of our human condition, our human experience. It's part of our journey. Because those times of doubt and fear and worry, God uses those times to draw me closer and to make me more certain of who He is and that He is faithful to the promises that He makes. What's happening is the Jewish people have been in captivity. The Babylonians have come. How many of you have heard of the Babylonians? Bad dudes, right? I mean, they would have a reality show if they were here today, right? The Babylonians. Y'all would be watching it, right? Wow. I didn't even mean for that to be funny, but it's good, wasn't it? And so the Babylonians, and these are bad guys. And so it looks like, I mean, the Babylonians have this empire. It's unbelievable. And if somebody said, oh, one day the Babylonians will fall, people would be like, what are you smoking? What's going to happen to these guys? I mean, they are awesome. They're incredible. We might as well just get used to them. Have you ever felt that way? Well, this sermon is for me. I mean, I've just been like, you know what? Nothing's going to change. I'm just going to be who I am. I'm going to struggle with the same things all the time. Nothing's ever going to change. So why bother? Why even try? And here they are. The Babylonians are going to fall? No way. And then guess what God does one day? He crushes the Babylonians as only God can. And it wasn't just this like supernatural thumb crush where there's just nothing left. The Persians come in and they defeat the Babylonians. That's exactly right. I mean, the Persians wipe them out. I mean, it's unbelievable. And so Cyrus the Mede is the ruler of the Persian Empire. Well, under the Babylonian Empire, there was just oppression. But Cyrus comes in and he's not even like a Yahweh follower. Are you with me? He's not even a Yahweh. He doesn't care nothing about Yahweh. But his religious view was tolerance. Hey, let the people practice whatever they want. And he orders it to Jews. He does an edict thing and orders it to Jews be able to go back to Jerusalem. So they go back to Jerusalem. And one, yeah, they're happy to be free, but they get to Jerusalem and guess what's there? This will be interactive tonight. Guess what's there when they get there? Ruins. Ruins. The temple, gone. Their homes, gone. The Walmart that was there, gone. I mean, it's gone. And so can you imagine? Woo, come on, we're free. We get to go back and have everything. What? There's nothing there. And guess what? They don't get on their phones to the local contractors to come and rebuild everything. Guess who's going to do that? They are. Guess how long it's going to take? A long, long time. By all estimation, we understand it probably took 18 years just to rebuild the temple again. And Zechariah is in this moment. This is the moment that he is in. Yeah, they're no longer captive, but it feels like they have nothing. And he says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. And so he's speaking specifically to these people. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem, see your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And he says this, I will take away the chariots from Ephraim, the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. And then he says this. You got to mark this down. Zechariah chapter 9. We're in verse 10. He will proclaim peace to the nations. Now there's a theme kind of running through these texts that I've been picking for Advent. And one of the things we talked about last week is how in all the unfolding of that, we get this glimmer that God has a global purpose for salvation. It wasn't just an immediately isolated thing in the Middle East, but God's plan from since the beginning of Earth's time has been that salvation would spread from the Jews to the Gentiles, and we get that picture here. He says He will proclaim peace to the nations. You need to mark that, highlight that, do something with that. He will proclaim peace to the nations. Now, you've seen the bumper sticker, and it says, no peace, N-O, no Jesus, N-O, no Jesus, no peace, N-O. And then it says, Kano Jesus, right? K-N-O-W. Kano peace, right? Are you with me? I was just clarifying. Thank you, Jeff. All right, good. All right, good. And you know what? It's a bumper sticker, but I'm going to tell you, I can roll with that. Because the only way you're going to have peace is to have Jesus. And the only way the nations are going to experience peace is that the nations, that means people from every tribe, tongue, and language, that they will know Jesus. He says He will proclaim peace to the nations. That this peace that you and I understand as followers of Jesus, God intends that it's not going to stay in this isolated place, but He's going to take it to the ends of the earth. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. I'm not going to go into the geography, but I think that's pretty self-explanatory. From sea to sea. All right? You with me? I'm just going to wait until you tell me you got it. Okay, so like, let me supply it. Big deal, right? This is a big deal. This is huge. He will proclaim peace to the nations. And then He gives just this geographic frame of reference from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. Where's the river? Well, not really all over, but it's like the river's right there, right, where they're at. From the river, right? Because He says from sea to sea. And I can see the people saying, oh, okay, sea to sea. Wow, that's weird. And He says, and from the river to the ends of the earth. From here. Because God did choose this moment of time. Not this one. This one, He chose this moment of time, and He chose that people. And His ultimate goal is that from that people, salvation would spread to the ends of the earth. This is huge. And I know some of you got to be sitting there saying, okay, we got it. Okay, CC, all right, Kano, we got it. You know, this is huge. I mean, this is the Wednesday of peace, right? Did you like that? This is a Wednesday of peace. And how are we going to know peace except that we know Jesus? And so there comes Jesus, and He's riding on the donkey. And you got to think in that moment, there were some people in the crowd saying, man, deja vu. Something is familiar about this. I have seen this before. I've heard this before. I can't put my finger on it. Because Zechariah had told them that this Messiah, He'd come. One of the ways you'll recognize Him, He'd come. And don't you find it odd He's riding on a donkey? I mean, wouldn't that be like picking a Pinto? Everybody remember the Pinto? I mean, wouldn't it be like, so which one you want? The Beamer, the Hummer, you know, whatever, the Pinto. Oh, how about the Pinto? I like that. Yeah, give me the screwdriver, just start it. You know, I mean, you know, that's kind of what you picture. And here comes Jesus on the donkey. Woo! Right? Well, kings had ridden on donkeys before. You know why they ride on donkeys? Anybody know? They're like really is a reason. Jeff, you're not allowed to answer. Somebody came to my office today and wanted to borrow a dictionary. I said, I don't even think I have one. They go, well, what do you do when you don't know a word? I said, I called Jeff. He usually knows it. They rode on a donkey because when you came on a donkey, you were coming in peace. If you were coming for war, you came on a horse. Does that make sense? You make sense? I mean, how helpless are you going to be on the donkey? Yeah, come on!
come on!
Are you with me? Please get that picture out of your head. I can already tell you are struggling already. And I just thought of it, and I thought, don't say that, but then it was out there. It already left. It was gone. So that's the deal. So they come on. All right, if you're going to laugh, don't look at me. And so on a horse means, man, we're coming to fight. We're coming forward. Jesus comes and he's on a donkey. And that wasn't a weird. They weren't looking at it as a lowly thing. They knew what that meant. He's coming in peace. What they didn't know is he was coming to bring peace. They missed even further that he himself is peace. They missed that. And Zechariah is sharing that with him. Zechariah is giving him this message of encouragement. The whole city is lying in ruins. And they don't know how stable the government is. I mean, the Babylonians got defeated. This guy's going to let us worship, but who knows? He could get defeated tomorrow. And guess what we find out? Historically, the Persians were defeated. And other people came in, and they all weren't as generous as the Persians were. And there was more persecution. And they go through this for 400 or 500 years. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. I hope you're marking in your Bible. And from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you. Why? Now, why does he say as for you? Because Yahweh remembers. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. All he's saying there is not everybody's made it back to Jerusalem yet. Some went to other areas and they're still in captivity. He's saying, as for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, O prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. Did y'all hear that? I will restore twice as much to you. These are powerful words that the prophet is speaking. Words of hope and encouragement. Words that are going to carry for thousands of years to encourage a generation. And there'll be words that will carry. And even in that moment, as Jesus comes on that donkey. And for the moment, they're worshiping him. But Jesus is on a donkey and he's got a different attitude. Why? Why does Jesus have a different attitude? I mean, they're all saying, praise be to you. They're all worshiping him. But there seems to be, that seems to be missing in Jesus' presence. How come? Because he knows what's coming. He knows what is ahead of him. He knows what the Father has placed before him. He knows that, you know, he knows that no Jesus, no peace. He knows no cross, no peace. And it's been stated that God is going to proclaim peace to the nations. That God is going to do that. And we know that he's going to do that through the person of Jesus. We know that that's how that's going to happen and how that's going to take place. So Jesus comes. And Jesus says, if they don't praise me, the rocks will cry out. Now I want you to hear this. Because last week we talked about the incredible suffering that the servant endured. And now Zechariah is telling us how that servant is going to come. And is very specific about it. I mean, I would say like this would pretty much fulfill exactly what Zechariah was talking about. That prophecy was fulfilled as they came and they got the colt and they gave it to Jesus and Jesus rode it. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. Now this is powerful. I want you to hear this. He wept over it. I want you to understand the compassion and the passion of Jesus. He knows what's going to happen. Guess what? Guess what? If you're a follower of Jesus, it's going to be okay. It is going to be okay. You and I can have peace. We can have peace in the midst of chaos, can't we? I mean, I was talking to my son the other day and I said, now what was I telling your mom the other day? And my 8-year-old Will, he said, I don't know, y'all were fighting. I couldn't tell. And there's a church person standing around. I'm like, fighting? What? Shut up. I was like, hey, we weren't fighting. He goes, well, you were having those heated discussions. I mean, 8 years old. And I said, you know, because I want to make a joke out of it, because I'm a wonderful husband. I know you already know that. It goes without saying. And I said to him, I said, now, Will, who always wins those heated discussions? He goes, I guess you do, because Mom always ends up sweet-talking you. Which has never happened, but he perceives it that way. So you know what? Perception's reality. And so there we are. So we can have peace in the midst of whatever we're going through. We can have that peace. But listen to me. Because I don't want to make this peace a peace that the Bible's not talking about. Because I believe this is a very specific peace that's being talked about here. And I don't believe, and I don't want you to believe for a minute, that the peace that it's talking about here is you're going to make it through the holidays and you're going to be okay without getting stressed out because you have peace. If that's what Jesus died for, it was a waste. That's not what's being talked about. He's talking about the most important thing. The most important thing, that I have peace because Jesus took my sin upon Himself. Let me tell you very specifically, and I want everybody to hear this. This will be, if you miss this, if somebody coughs or something and you don't hear it, you miss what this is all about. The peace that has been provided, that Jesus has provided for me and you. The peace. He's just upset because He wants to hear what it is. He just wants to hear, right? You can tell Him later. The peace that Jesus has provided. You ought to see your faces right now. This is awesome, Jeff. It's like they're like, tell us. Tell us. We want to know. But listen, I'm serious. The peace that Jesus provided is the peace that you and I have with God. It's not about not being stressed out for the holidays. That's not what this is about. Because in the face of eternity, your stress for the holiday pales in comparison to the importance of you and I having peace with God. And somebody might be here tonight and you might be saying, why do I need peace with God? I'm not a horrible person. And I just want to tell you, yes, you are. You are. Before you leave, hang on. So am I. And I'm not going to try to act like I'm not. And all these other people here, I mean, my goodness. Why do you think they're here? We must have that peace with God. And the Bible says that we've all sinned. All of us. We've all sinned. I know I have at least twice. We have all sinned. Listen to me, church. Listen. And that sin is a slap in the face of God. He is a holy and righteous God. And that sin is so horrid, it's so horrible, that sin has separated us from God. And there's only one thing that will make peace between God and us. That's what Zechariah is talking about. That's what Zechariah is talking about. The peace that you cannot live without. And that's the peace that Jesus provided so that our sin is reconciled and we have peace with God. Because you'll be all right if you have some stress for the holidays. You will not be all right if you do not have peace with God. Salvation comes. And Zechariah reminds us that Yahweh remembers. He remembers the promises that He made. Keith, if you guys want to come. He remembers the promises that He has made. As He approached Jerusalem and saw the city, He wept over it and He said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. And the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. And for sake of time, I want to stop there. I just want to make a few observations. I mean, they're right there. Jesus is on the donkey and He's coming. And imagine He's coming to a place where He can see the city. And he has compassion on the city because they are missing it. And listen, let's look at the reality of what's going on today. So many Jewish folks, they've missed it. They reject Jesus as God's Messiah. And there they were even in that time when he was right there fulfilling prophecy. Because there wouldn't have been a person in attendance who wouldn't have understood this. Zechariah told us this would happen. And Jesus comes and the Bible says he weeps over the city. It says, if you only knew what would bring you peace, because he is the Messiah. He is the one. And the good news of the gospel is that he did come. He did drink the cup that the Father gave him. He did that. He did that because there's no other way that you and I can have peace with God. I want to encourage you tonight. I want to encourage you. Yahweh remembers. God remembers the promises that he's made. And when it feels like that he has forgotten, he'll remind us that he remembers. And it's not that he just now remembered. He's always known what he's going to do. But we must wait on his time. The peace that he offers you and me is peace with God his Father. That's the peace that he offers. So here's the deal. If you're here tonight, you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you're just kind of checking all this out, I'll tell you how it all made sense to me. Now, I knew the stuff I did. And I grew up in church, right? So that means I was a good boy, right? But if I had a video of my life, we would not be watching it. Do you understand? Or we'd be watching it with me with the remote saying, hang on. Okay, now. Listen, that's all of our lives. If you're here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, okay, forget Jesus for a minute. Do you have those moments that you don't want all of us to see? It's called sin. And we all have those moments. And my question to you is, so what about that? What about that? Because as I see it, if it's sin, it's wrong, and somebody's going to pay for it. And I would say, if there's a God, of course I believe there is, but I'm just saying, if there's a God, surely he's perfect and holy and just. And those things I don't want you to see and don't want you to know, those things have to be paid for. What I preach to you tonight is the peace that you can have. Because the Messiah came. And he paid the price for those sins. He paid the price for those sins. And so I don't have to worry about the video anymore. I don't have to worry about that. If I said, hey God, can I get a video of my life? Nope, because there isn't one. Because the Bible says he forgives our sins and he casts them as far as the east is from the west and remembers them no more. And it made sense to me that this Messiah came, God in the flesh, and he didn't just offer me peace. He came and became my peace. And so my prayer is, if you're here tonight, you don't have a relationship with Jesus, it's the only way that you'll have peace with God. Some of you are going to leave one more night without Jesus and say, well, I'm going to try one more week. Just one more week. I think I can do it. You can't. The Bible says we can only have peace with God through Jesus. Yahweh remembers. He remembers the promises he's made. I want to invite some of you to come to the altar tonight because you're just discouraged. And if you were honest, even though you wouldn't be honest earlier, if you were honest, some of you felt like that God has forgotten. You wondered if he knows what's going on, if he's really there. Father, we come to you tonight. And I thank you that you are our peace. And I thank you that you're not just a peace to get us through the holidays, because that would be cheap. But you're a peace that allows us to be loved and adored by God. You have become a peace that will allow us to have eternity in heaven forever and ever. And I pray tonight, Lord, that this would be a night of salvation and people would be saved. I pray this would be a night, Father, you take discouragement. You lift it from people and you encourage their hearts. So, Lord, we pray to you. Thank you for remembering. Be our peace. It's in your name we pray. All right, y'all. I want to invite you to come to the altar. We're not going to have a long altar. But I'm going to, in just a moment, say stand. And I'm just going to ask you, if you feel so led, just to come to the altar and pray. Pastor Jeff, Pastor Keith, Pastor David, myself, we're here. We'd love to talk to you more about having a relationship with Jesus. More about baptism. But I want you to be obedient and to respond to Him. So the altar's open. Let's stand. You come.